It's good. That's a good looking sight. You can put them down. Hallelujah. Well, today is a special day that we recognize all of our dads, pops, fathers, granddads. Absolutely, all of those. Would all of our fathers, pops, dads, granddads, would you stand up a minute? Oh, hallelujah. God bless you guys. God bless you. Listen, remain standing a minute. I want to pray over you. God bless you. Listen. Listen, dads, you are the backbone of society, the backbone of family, and the backbone of the church. What an awesome responsibility you have been given by God. It's an awesome thing to be a dad. It's an awesome thing. What a power you possess. What opportunities God has given us. And you know, I just want to pray for you, and I'm praying for myself too as a dad. Believing for the grace of God. Never have I needed it more. Never have I desired God's wisdom more. To be a good dad. To take up my place. I don't want to be an absentee dad. I don't want to abdicate my place in my home or in the church. I want to be there. I want to be a pillar. I want to be a strength. We're going to talk about that from the Word today. But I would like to, if I may, pray over us today, guys. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord. Father, in your fatherhood is our fatherhood found. Because of your great heart as a father, you have raised us up. You've given us the privilege, Lord, of being fathers, of being dads and granddads. And Lord, we are grateful for it. We do not take it lightly. It is an awesome thing, God. Father, I pray for all of us as dads. I pray for wisdom, O God. Father, sometimes being a dad is so perplexing. Coming, knowing what to do and how to do and when to do. Lord, it can be so perplexing. But we ask for wisdom from you, Lord. You said if any of us ask wisdom, that you would give it and you would not find fault. I pray today, O God, for every father here. Encourage them, O God. Encourage them. Maybe some of us have failed, O God, as dads. But Lord, today is a brand new start. Encourage us, O God. Strengthen us, O God, as dads today. Father, that we may be all you've called us to be. For our homes, for our children, for our wives. And for the house of God. That we may be the pillars of God. That we may go in the boldness and courage and strength, O God. That we may provide that covering that you've called us to provide. For our families and for the family of God. Oh God, strengthen every dad. Encourage them. Fulfill their dreams and desires you've put in their lives. Oh God. Father, may it be a new day for all of us. Oh God, make us fruitful. Make us fruitful. And make us a blessing. Oh God, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give our dads a hand this morning? Thank God for our pops. We appreciate you guys. You know, the psalmist David, he said in Psalm 17:15, he said, I will be satisfied when, oh God, when I awake with your likeness. And all of us, especially us dads today, what greater thing could we aspire to than what that simple statement vocalized, and that is, I will be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. When my heart as a father can reflect the heart of the Father God, how satisfied would that be? What a great accomplishment that would be. Amen. You know, some men want to be, you know, their desire is to build an empire, to build a business, to have a name, to have renown, and to have popularity. But I want to tell you what, today I believe that our goal, our aspiration should be that very thing. That we will be satisfied, O God, when we awake with the likeness of the Father God. So I just want to look at a few things concerning the heart of the Father God and relate them to us, especially as dads, but all of us can have that heart. And first of all, the heart of the Father is strong. You know, God's heart is strong. And dads, God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be strong. Are you listening? Yes. strong. Listen, in the home, you are the strength. You know, sometimes some dads, they abdicate their place. And I trust that's not the case with anyone in here. But many times, as fathers, we abdicate our place. And so it falls on our wife, it falls on our spouse, that they have to be the one who is strong. They have to be the one who carries the load. They have to be the one who is the spiritual leader of the home. And that is not what God has desired. Does that mean that women are inferior? By no means. But God has assigned each one of us a place and a part. Amen? Amen? You know, here's the thing this morning. Which is more important, your heart or your kidneys? Depends on how you look at it, doesn't it? Because I'm going to tell you what, if both your kidneys are gone, you're going to be in trouble. Isn't that right? Which is more important, your brain or your heart? I mean, you know, it's all a matter of, you know, how you compare things, isn't it? Every part of your body is important. But not, the heart can't do what the lungs can do. The kidneys can't do what the brain can do. And so when we talk about it this morning, we're not putting down women. We're not saying that they're inferior in any way. But God has called the men to be strong. We're to be the strength. We're to be the strength in our homes. We're to stand there. When the enemy comes in, we stand up and say, "No way, devil, you're not having my family." Stop letting your wife fight your battles. What's that? Uh-oh. Psalms 18. I'm encouraging you because listen, in all of this, listen, you know what this means? If God called you to do it, you know what that means? He's going to enable you to do it. You can do it. You can be strong. You can be strong. We're going to talk about it. Notice what he says here in Psalm 18. He talks about the Father God here. He's in Psalms 18, verse 39. Hold on a minute. I'm in Proverbs. That's why that don't look right. Psalm 18. I'll get over there. Psalm 18, verse 2. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold." Listen, guys, if we're going to be strong in the Lord, we first of all have got to make sure that God is our stronghold, that God is our refuge, and that God is our strength. Are you listening? Listen, the greatest thing that God will ever call you to do will not be to ministry. It will not be to be an apostle or prophet or pastor or an evangelist or teacher. It will not be any of those things. It will be the call to be a father. Hallelujah. To be a father. And you know, too many times, in our society, men have looked everywhere else to make their mark and have abdicated the greatest call and the greatest opportunity to make their mark on that family that God has given them. And here's the thing, guys, we need to understand, if we're going to awaken His likeness, we need to understand this, that God is a refuge. God is a stronghold for those who look to Him. And there are those in your family who are looking to you, Dad, who are looking to you, men, to be that refuge, to be that stronghold, to take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, to rise up in that God-given authority in the home there and say, "Devil, hallelujah. Anointing, just put the lights right out." It happens. Hallelujah. But God is looking to you to rise up and say, "Bless God, no more, devil, no more." And your family can look to you and know, you know what, man, Dad's here. Dad's here. Dad's going to handle it. Dad's going to do it. You know why? You know why they're going to have that confidence in you? Because you're a man of God. Because you know that the Lord is your stronghold, and they know it. Your wife and kids know it. They know Dad is a man of prayer. Dad is a man of God. Dad is a man of the Word. Dad is going to get answers. Dad is going to hear from heaven. Dad is not a wimp. He's going to stand up, and he's going to do what it takes to bring victory and deliverance for our family. Amen? Strong. Notice in verse 39, that same chapter.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are, listen, Listen, don't worry about the lights. They'll figure that out. You armed me with strength for battle. Listen. Listen, men. You are armed with strength for battle. You make my adversaries bow at my feet. You make my enemies turn their backs in flight. That's who you are. That's who God's called you to be, Dad. To be strong. Remember, He said, I'm going to be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. And listen, this is what God's called you to be. This is who you are. Stop listening to who the devil's trying to tell you who you are. He's trying to tell you you don't have the answer. He's trying to tell you you're weak, you're discouraged, you can't do it. You're not who you ought to be. Listen, stop listening to him and start listening to your Father God. What did Paul say in Ephesians 6:10? He said, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Notice that, strong. Power, might. That's what God's given you, men. Strength, power, and might that is of Him. And He says that if you'll just stand up in that, He said, you know what? You'll put the enemies to flight. You'll be there. You'll be a strength. You'll be a refuge. You'll be strong for your family. In the day of battle, you will have confidence. And you know what? Those that you lead in your home will have confidence. He's going to lead us to victory. Amen. We're talking about a father's heart. Like David, he said, I'm going to be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. Listen, that's what God's aim is for you, for all of us, but especially to the men I'm speaking to. Listen, men, dads, God's called you. We're to be in his likeness. We're to emulate him. Amen. He is our father. And I'll be satisfied when I start acting like him. Start acting like him. You say, but I don't feel like him. Well, just start acting like him, and then the feelings will come around. You start acting like it. Act like you're courageous. Act like you're bold. Act like you're a son of God. Act like you have strength. Act like you have power. Act like God's living in you, because he is. And all of a sudden, you start getting some feelings. But you start acting like it. Amen. God is a protector. Psalm 59. Turn over there. Psalm 59. Verse 16. He said, but I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are a fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Listen, God has called us dads, men, to be protectors. We are to protect our families. In the church, we are to protect the widows, the orphans. We are to be there. We are to surround the weaker ones with a hedge of protection. We are to be strong for them. Amen? We're to be there. We protect others that cannot protect themselves. When the enemy attacks them, we don't stand back and say, well, I'm glad that's not me. Bless God, no. I'm telling you what. As soon as you picked on them, bless God, you picked on the whole bunch. You read Israel. I'm telling you what. If somebody attacked Benjamin, bless God, Dan was going to be in your face. You know what I mean by all the tribes. You didn't attack Benjamin, you know, and all the rest of the 11 tribes said, well, I'm glad it's not me. No, I'm telling you what, when you attacked one, you attacked the family. They were a family. I said, bless God, that's it, man. You've had it now. And so here's the thing. When somebody in the body is going through something, when they're going through a test, a trial, an attack, bless God, I'm telling you what, we marshal the forces. We're going to be there. We're going to be a refuge for you. We're going to be a strength for you. Isn't that what he said to do? 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn over there. Notice what it says here. We're talking about the heart of the Father. In 1 Peter, look over there. Chapter 4. Listen to this. Above all. Everybody say above all. Okay, thank you. Love each other deeply. Because love covers. Everybody say covers. Over a multitude of sins. How do we protect? Well, one way we do it is what we love. We love deeply. We love one another deeply. I'm committed to you. Warts and all. Because we all got them. See, you thought I was talking about everybody else, didn't you? We all got them. Let's face it, hadn't we? Sure we do. We all got them. We got our faults. We got our little quirks. We got all these different kind of things. But he said, here's the thing. And listen, this is the only way you'll be able to. He says, if you love deeply, you cover. You don't expose, you cover. Something that protects, it doesn't leave it exposed to something. It covers, doesn't it? Doesn't matter what it is. It protects. Why is it that you like having a home? Because what? It provides protection for you. It covers that family there. And listen, dads, don't be picking and finding fault with your wife and everything that's wrong with your kids. He said it covers. Protect them. If you see something wrong there, do something proactive. Love them, teach them, instruct them, pray for them, encourage them. But don't get down and criticize them. Don't get down and find fault with them. Don't expose them. Protect them. What we want, the heart of the Father. That's what God does. God doesn't run around exposing all your dirty laundry. And everybody said, thank God. Isn't that right? He doesn't. It's not God that's doing that. That's not God that's doing it. God covers. God covers. He seeks to forgive. He seeks to heal. He seeks to reconcile. That's the heart of the Father. That's the heart we're to have, guys. All of us. But especially, guys, that's the heart we're to have. Amen? You know? The Bible says that we, as the children of God, we are to be what? A reflection of the Father, aren't we? Did you know that your children and your wife are a reflection of you guys? They are. Listen, if you're haranguing on them and you're beating them down and you're nitpicking and you're finding fault and you're shouting at them all the time and you're telling them how they, you know, this and that and the other. I mean, man, no wonder they look like they've just been through, 5 miles of bad road. That, no wonder. Listen, we're, and the same is true with one another. Listen, the more I love, the better you look. It's true. It's true. The more I love you, the better you look. The less flaws I see. It's a fact, isn't it, church? We know that. So let's stir up the love of God. It's in there. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's the image of the Father. It's in there. Let's do it. Let's protect. Then the Father God is caring. Turn over to Matthew. I know we know these things, but listen. Today's Father's Day. I want to remind you, you have a Father that cares, and we're going to emulate the Father. As I will be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. When I get up one day and I look in the mirror and I see the likeness of the heart of the Father in me. Listen, church, when we do that, listen. The world will beat down the doors to get in. They ain't going to worry about arguing about splitting hairs about, did Jesus resuscitate or did He really resurrect and all. They're not going to split hairs about all that stuff. Listen. And all the stuff that has separated us in the body. And when we really get down to it, it don't really matter to a hill of beans. It doesn't matter at all. Listen, what's the reason the more we love, the closer we're going to come together. Caring. Matthew 6. I want to encourage you. God cares for you. This is the heart of the Father. He cares for you. Notice this, verse 25. He said, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. What do most people do? What's your biggest worries? Come on, let's be honest. I just said we all had faults and warts. We're all tempted to do it. Isn't that right? But notice, he said, therefore, I tell you. So listen, when we get it settled that God cares for us, That's what Jesus is talking to in his generation. He said, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or your body, what you're going to wear. Isn't life more important than food? And the body is more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? That's a rhetorical question. Of course you are. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? You ever paid a bill by worry? Boy, if we could, most of us would have it made, wouldn't we? Skip down to verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat and what are we going to drink? What do we wear? For the pagans, the unbelievers, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows what your needs are. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? So listen, don't worry. Don't worry. Listen, dads, you know, the wife, the kids, they look to the dad. Well, listen, how many know the crisis of life comes to everybody? Troubles come to everybody. Everybody gets them. Nobody's exempt. Man, I wish I could tell you, boy, as a believer, you'd be exempt, but you already know better than that, don't you? It's just not true, is it? But here's the thing. The difference is that we have a Father God who's with us. And if we remember, guys, listen, these words of Jesus, he said, I'm not going to worry. The Father knows. The Father cares. The Father will meet our needs. Listen, when we get that grounded and settled in us, because when the crisis of life hits our family, the crisis of life hits our church, you know what? You know what? Everybody's going to be looking at the dads. They look to the dad. Okay, dad. If dad's worried and he's wringing his hands and, oh, I don't know what we're going to do and this is it. We've had it now. It's all over. I mean, bless God, man, the family's going to be that way. The family's going to be fearful. They're going to be in turmoil. But if you stand up in that moment, you may feel as weak as you've ever felt. You may feel as inadequate as you've ever felt in your life. But remember what God said. He said, be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. You may feel in yourself like you're the weakest you've ever been. You may not have the answers. But you stand up and tell your family, I'm going to tell you what, family, the Lord our God will meet our needs. He is with us. He will not fail us. He will not let us down. He will bring us through. He will pull us over. The Lord our God. We're going to pray right now, and God's going to hear, and God's going to provide. They're not looking for you to have all the answers, but I'm telling you what, they're looking at you to remember who does have the answers and to lead them to the throne. Amen. Listen. We read this a lot in our intercessory prayer time on Monday nights, but let me read it to you. Listen to this. Because we know, he says over there, and Peter said to cast all your care over on God, didn't he? Cast all your care over on God. Listen to this. In Job, he said, you will pray to him and he will hear you. Boy, you can't get better than that, can you? You will pray and he will hear. What you decide on will be done. And light will shine on your ways. When men are brought low and you say, lift them up, then he will save the downcast. He will deliver even one who is not innocent. He will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. So what do? We begin to lift up. As dads, as men of God in the body of Christ, as well as in our homes, we have an obligation. When we see somebody cast down, when we see somebody going through something, maybe they even sinned, maybe they missed it. Of course, we never have. But he says what? He said, what you ask for will be done. What you ask for. Well, listen, I believe that's true, so I implore you, when you see that about me, please ask something good. Don't emphasize my fault. Pray and ask God to help me in it. Isn't that right? And with one another. How do we lift the cares of other people? We do it through prayer. We do it through prayer. Listen, you are more powerful than you ever realized. What you can do in prayer. Wow. It's amazing. It's awesome. is tremendous. Your prayers can change your family. Your prayers can change your church. Your prayers can change a nation. Wow. Little old you, little old me. Because prayer hooks us up with a mighty God, doesn't it? Prayer hooks us up with the one who has all the answers, who has the wisdom, who has the supply, who has the strength, who has the grace. I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. The Bible says that Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, ever lives to make intercession for you and I. You know what Jesus is doing right now? One thing he's doing, he's interceding for you and I. Wow. You know, when you hit a stretch of bad road, the bumps, the potholes, all of that stuff, you know what? That's the time to remember, Jesus is interceding for me. I can't be defeated. I can't go under. As long as the Son of God's praying for me, how can I go under? How can I go under? I will rise up. I will be victorious. Amen? Why? Because Jesus is praying for me. And you think about it. When I pray for you, you know what? That's two of us, Jesus and me, we're in agreement about you. And you know what he said? If two of you shall agree. Understanding. What is the heart of the Father? It's not only caring, it's an understanding heart. You know, when you pour out your heart to God, to the Father God, you know what? You can tell him your deepest secrets, your fears, your cares, your concerns. He will never betray your trust. A man may, but he never will. No one understands like he understands. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 just a moment. Are you getting anything out of this? Hebrews 4. We're talking about the heart of the Father. And listen, all this heart of the Father is, is the same heart he wants to work in us, guys. Amen? Listen, be caring. Be caring. Listen, caring's not a sign of weakness. Oh, yeah, but I'm Mr. Macho. Yeah, Mr. Macho, you're going to have a big fall. Because pride goes before the fall. All right? Listen, I believe this, that macho is just that the fleshly counterfeit to trying to be strong. Instead of God's strength, we're trying to do it in some kind of macho man strength. The image of a man the world has painted. Listen, man, people will be drawn to you when you show you care. They won't think you weak. They'll think you're strong. They'll think, now there's a real man. There's a real man. He identifies. He understands. He didn't jump on me with both feet. He didn't kick me while I was down. He understood. Listen to Hebrews 4. It's the same thing with God. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence." Why? Because Jesus understands. We have confidence. Why? Because he can identify with my weaknesses. He can identify with my temptations, with my fears. He can identify with me feeling inadequate at times. He can identify with that, guys. And he said, because of that, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Who's at the throne of grace? This faithful high priest. He's at the right hand. He's interceding for you and I. He can identify with what it means to be a man. And he said, therefore, let us come to this throne of grace. And when we come, what are we going to receive? We're going to receive mercy. So when people come to us, what should they receive first from us men? Understanding and mercy. Mercy follows understanding. When I understand your pain, when I understand what you're going through, when I identify with that, the first thing that's going to come forth from me is mercy. Because I've been there. And I didn't know what to do. And I needed mercy. I'm going to tell you, sooner or later, you might not need it this second, but the next second you probably will need it. Mercy. Isn't that right? He said, you will receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When do you need mercy? Time of need. Isn't that right? Man, when I'm doing everything just right, I don't need your mercy. It's when I screw up. It's when I mess it up. That's when I need mercy. Isn't that right? And he said, when you come to Jesus, you're going to find it. Well, listen, we want that same heart to be in us. Isn't that right? Listen, you know what we need in the body of Christ as a whole, all of us? More understanding and less of a rush to judgment. Amen. Whoever said that, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Listen, he said, I will what? He said, I will be satisfied what when I awake with your likeness. Turn to Proverbs 14 real quick. You in the dark, just listen to me. I'll read it to you. 14 and 9. Bless your hearts. We'll figure out what it is. We'll get it fixed between now and next time. Listen. 14:29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. A patient man has great understanding. Great understanding. You know, I read something humorous, but it's made me think about something. You know, we're all familiar with Noah and the ark, aren't we? Remember after he built the ark, and it said what? All the creatures came on what? Two by two? Man, don't you know that took a while? Hello? I mean, he was 100 years building the ark. That was a patient man, wasn't he? But I was thinking about it. You know, I'm guessing that there were two snails on there. You know, it took them a lot longer to get on than it did the giraffe. You know, some of us, you know, in some areas, some of us, we're like gazelles. We're like giraffes. We stride ahead. We leap forward. We're able to do that. But sometimes some of us are like snails in areas. We don't move as fast. We don't get on the ark as quick. But you know what? My understanding now, I could be wrong, but my understanding was God closed the door on the ark, didn't he? Well, he didn't close the door until they all got on. He didn't say, well, there's the gazelles, they're on, shut the door. No, he waited patiently for those snails. You ever wished you moved quicker? You ever wished somebody else moved quicker? That they changed quicker? What in the, you know, you're thinking, what in the world is wrong with those people? Why can't they get on the stick? I mean, how hard is it? I mean, look at that. I do it with my eyes closed. But that's the way it is, isn't it? And listen, we are to be patient with the snails. You know what? Compared to God, we're all snails in our movement, aren't we? And he's patient with us. Notice what he said here. How can you be patient? A man of great understanding. A great understanding. Great insight. Great mercy. Great grace. Say it again, brother. Lord help us. Isn't that right? This is probably one of my biggest faults. I'm in a hurry. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And that's not always good. We need to what? We need to be what? Of more deeper understanding. Be more patient. All right, one more. Give me time for one more here. See, I want my heart, I want to awake with his likeness. You know, and as I just, and this is just a few areas, study and look at this, I realize that I've got a ways to go. I might be one of those snails getting on the ark, brother. Turn over to 1 John real quickly. The last one, loving. God's heart. The heart. He has a heart of love. He is a loving Father. You know, there is nothing more refreshing, more sustaining, more strengthening than a father's love. I mean, you just feel secure. You feel secure. You feel like you are somebody because Dad loves me. I identify. I belong. Man, isn't it good to belong? Oh, I know. We all got our bravado. Man, you know, I don't need nobody. You know, we all know that's just a bunch of hype. That's not real. That's not real. You know, really all it is we've just been hurt a lot. But here's the thing. A heart of love. When we embrace, when the Father's love, the heart of the Father God, when we embrace that love, wow, that breaks us. All our objections, all our fears, all everything, all our insecurities, everything, it just gets swallowed up. It just gets melted away. The Father, He just loves us. My God, You love me. I mean, I could believe God could love some people because some people are lovable, but God could love me. Think about that. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "How great is the love of the Father that He has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." The children of God. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Why would you want to? But He loves you. You say, "Yeah, but I haven't got it all together just right yet, Pastor. I haven't done it all just right. I haven't done everything. I haven't dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's." I know it. Jesus did that for you. Thank God He did. And here's the thing. He said, "What love has the Father lavished?" I love that term. I love that translation. Lavished. Boy, He didn't put it out with an eyedropper. Okay. Wait a minute. You got one drop too much. No, He says He lavished it on you. Lavish means to more than enough. Way over the top. Ostentatious. Well, look at the home God's prepared for you. It's ostentatious. Streets paved with gold. Everybody here's fighting over it. There, you're just going to be walking over it. Building material. Man, if the streets are gold, imagine what the mansion's going to be made out of. Look down in verse 11. "This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another." We should love one another. We should love one another. Jesus said this. He said this was the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. Instead of busy crossing the T's and dotting our I's, let's just work on loving. Loving one another. Loving one another. David said, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with His likeness." One more scripture here, and then we'll close. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 4, and then we're going into 5 there. Ephesians 4:31. 4:31, Ephesians. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice." How are we going to do that? "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." How many times, when you come to the throne of grace in your time of need, do you want God to forgive you? Most of the time. He said, in the same way, we are to love one another, aren't we? He said, be kind to one another. Kind. Compassionate. "Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know what love means, Dad? It means we become engaged in the lives of those God's given us, with our wives, with our children. We're engaged with them. We know what's going on in their lives. We care about them. With those that are in the family of God that we're fellowshipping with, God's called us to do that, to be engaged, to be kind, to be understanding, to love one another. The Bible says, again, I want to remind you, Romans 5:5, as believers, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So the love of God's in there. We need to just what? We begin to use that love. Let's just use it. We all know 1 Corinthians 13 over there. Love is patient. It is kind. Isn't that right? It's not haughty. It's not puffed up. It does not seek its own way. It seeks the welfare of others. It believes the best of everyone. It takes no account of the faults and sins and wrongdoings of others. Remember that? We know that. That's the love of God. And so here's the thing. We've looked just a little bit, a little snapshot at the heart of the Father. And here's the thing. He wants us to emulate, to reflect Him, to reflect that same heart. And especially, Dads, today, I want to encourage you in this. You can do this. We can do this. We can reflect the heart of the Father because we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who's living and working in us. And if we yield to Him, if we walk in the counsel of God's Word, then you know what? We will more and more begin to exemplify it. And you know, some of us may feel more like the snail in this area than the gazelle. That's all right. You're making progress. And you know what? We're all committed to your progress because God's not going to shut the door till everybody's in. Amen. He's not going to shut the door just because the swiftest got there first. He's waiting on some of us. Amen. And we can do this, Grace. We can do this. David said, I will be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. Amen. Would you bow your heads just a moment, please? Maybe you're here this morning. Perhaps you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never embraced this unconditional love we've talked about today. The love of God. The love whereby God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And the love that compelled Jesus to go to a place called Calvary, on a cruel cross, and there He bore your sins. On the third day He arose, and the Scriptures say now, whoever will trust in Him as Savior, they will be forgiven, and they will be made the sons of God. If you've never embraced Jesus as Lord, asked Him to come into your life, but you would like to today, and you'd like for me to pray with you and pray for you, would you lift your hand anywhere in the room? Anywhere in the room. If you lift your hand, I'm going to pray for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, that's fine. If you would all the dads stand up just one more time? Of course, we know the message today is for everyone. It's not just the dads, but I want to pray in the light of this message. And this will be my closing. I want to pray over you just one more time, if I may. Could I just have the dads, could you just come up here and just make a line and maybe take each other's hand to hand? Would you mind? Could we take just a moment to do this? Just make a line across here. Yeah, face me if you wouldn't mind. Just grab a hand. We're going, all the dads, come up here. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to do anything wacko, but it'll be good. Here's what we're going to do. All right. That's all right. Take your time. We're going to wait on you. Come on up. Come on up. That's all right. That's all right, brother. They got on the ark. Hallelujah. They got saved just like the gazelle. Hallelujah. We made it. Here's what I'm going to do. I want to say just a brief prayer, and then what I'd like to do is for you guys, pray for that person on either side of you, okay? We're not going to do a lengthy prayer, but just a prayer. And as I say a general prayer, and you guys out there, if you're out there, you can stretch your hands up here and pray over them too. And I'm going to say a general prayer, but I want you, as I pray, just to say a prayer for that person on either side. You know, you say, I'm not sure how to pray. Listen, whatever you need in your life, is a good chance they probably need that too. So pray, you know, if you're not sure, pray for those areas where you need strength, where you need wisdom, where you need God to work in your life as a man, as a father, as a dad. Father, now as these men pray for one another, we all here, we pray as well. We pray for grace. We pray, oh God, for the formation of the heart of the Father, that the love of God will rise up in them. Oh, Father, that you make them of great understanding and patience, oh God. Father, that the heart of the Father will be brought forth in them and developed in them. God, may they be encouragers to their home, to their wives, to their children. May they be that protector. May they be that stronghold, strength and refuge for their for families and homes, oh God. Strengthen them, encourage them. Father, this is the backbone of Grace Community Church. These men, these dads, Father, I thank you. Your hand is upon them. Lord, with these men, you can build a great church. You can build a church that reaches out with your love, with your grace, with your compassion to hurting people. Oh God, I thank you for these men. Encourage them, strengthen them, bless them, oh God, and use them greatly, use them mightily for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.